In one of the biggest trades in NBA history, Los Angeles Lakers star center Shaquille O'Neal was traded yesterday. He went to the Miami Heat in exchange for three players and a first-round draft choice. Commentator John Feinstein joins us now. Good morning, John.
Morning, Steve.
So why would the Lakers want to trade the most dominant player in basketball?
Well, they felt they had no choice. Their owner, Jerry Buss, basically made a decision that if he could only keep Shaquille O'Neal or their star guard, Kobe Bryant, who's 6 years younger than Shaquille, he would keep Bryant. O'Neal only had one more year left on his contract. That means he could become a free agent next year, and he's going to be 33 years old. Bryant's a free agent now, and he had basically said to the Lakers, if Shaq comes back, I'll sign with another team. Buss decided, since the two were feuding and only one could remain, that he would keep the younger player.
They never did get along, did they?
No, they never got along. They forced themselves to try to play together. They won three championships together. They won four. They went to four finals in 5 years. But Shaq always believed it was his team. Kobe always believed it was his team. There wasn't enough for two egos like this, even in a city as large as Los Angeles.
Where does this rank on your all-time list of important trades?
I think it's in the top five, because Shaquille O'Neal is one of the top five centers in the history of the game. Wilt Chamberlain, who's either one, two, or three, depending on your point of view, was traded twice. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was traded in 1977 from the Milwaukee Bucks to the Los Angeles Lakers. Julius Erving was traded from the New York Nets to the Philadelphia 76ers. This is right up there with those historic trades.
And what does this trade do to the balance of power in the NBA?
Completely changes it. The Lakers are no longer a major power in the West. They'll be, you know, a mid-level team now, and the Miami Heat become a team that can challenge the Detroit Pistons, the NBA champions, in the Eastern Conference. So it moves a lot of the power from the far West Coast to the far East Coast.
One other thing I want to ask about, John, the British Open is underway in Scotland, golf's third major championship at Royal Troon. What do you think?
Well, I think that again, Lynx golf is so different from the golf we play here because it's affected by the wind, the bounces of the ball. There are all sorts of soap opera questions. Can Phil Mickelson and Ernie Els bounce back from their disappointments in the U.S. Open? Where will Tiger Woods' ball go? Will it go in the fairway, or will it go left and right as it's been going in the last 2 years? He hasn't won a major for 2 years. People say he's now starting to hit the ball a lot better. Or will an unknown like Ben Curtis come out of nowhere as he did last year and win the British Open?
Well, what happens this year with the real Ben Curtis?
Well, you know, he's been overplaying, in my opinion. This is his fifth tournament overseas. He's been chasing the guaranteed appearance money that you get after winning a major title. And as a result, he's only 104th on the money list. He's not the first player to do this after gaining stardom, and he's certainly not the last. But I think if Ben Curtis wants to be a really good player on the PGA Tour, he needs to focus on playing over here and not exhaust himself chasing the money that's out there.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, Steve.
The comments of John Feinstein. His latest book is Caddy for Life, The Bruce Edwards Story.